Ever get that feeling, like when you're scrolling through those endless terms and conditions online, you just gotta click agree without really knowing what you're signing up
Oh,
for.
yeah, definitely. It's like a wall of text. Who really reads all that stuff?
Right. But sometimes those little details can have some pretty big implications, especially when it comes to legal stuff. And that's exactly what we're diving into today.
We're tackling a case that, even though it was eventually kind of overturned, the core issues it raised are still super relevant today,
Yeah.
especially for all you law students out there trying to wrap your heads around this whole world of contracts and consumer rights.
It's Discover Bank versus Superior Court.
Yeah, a real landmark case out of California that really digs into the whole debate over arbitration clauses and whether those little clauses that force you to give up your right to a class action lawsuit, whether those are actually fair.
So, to kick things off, can you give us the quick rundown? What was the heart of this case all about?
Sure. So basically, this case centered around a guy named Bo who signed up for a Discover Bank credit card back in like 1986. Nothing too unusual there, right? Happens all the time.
Yeah, credit cards, everyone's got them.
But here's the thing. The original agreement he signed, it didn't have anything about arbitration in it. Fast forward to 1999, Discover Bank decides to update their terms and conditions, as companies often do. And in this update, they slipped in something new. An arbitration clause with a class action waiver.
Okay, so hold on, back up for a sec. What exactly does that mean? Break it down for us. What's an arbitration clause, and why is this waiver such a big deal?
All right, so an arbitration clause basically means that if there's ever a dispute between, say, Bo and Discover Bank, instead of going to court, they have to resolve it through a private process called arbitration.
And arbitration's usually a lot faster and less formal than a full-blown trial, right?
Yeah, exactly. Often it's just a neutral third party, an arbitrator, who hears both sides and makes a decision. But the key here is that the clause Discover added also included this thing called a class action waiver.
Okay, so now we're getting to the juicy part. What does that mean?
This waiver basically meant that Bo and anyone else with the Discover card couldn't join together with other cardholders to file a class action lawsuit against the bank. They'd have to go it alone, individually.
So they couldn't team up if they felt the bank had wronged them in some way that affected lots of people?
Exactly. And this is important because class actions can be a powerful tool for consumers to hold companies accountable, especially when the harm to each individual might be relatively small.
I see where this is going.
Yeah.
So this guy, Boer, did he end up suing Discover Bank?
He did. In 2001, Bo filed a class action lawsuit alleging that Discover Bank was systematically overcharging customers on certain fees, things like late payment fees or over the limit fees.
Like nickel and diming people.
Yeah, basically. Bo argued that while these extra charges might only be a few bucks here and there for each person, they added up to a pretty substantial amount across Discover's entire customer base.
So he was saying it was a scheme to make extra money off people without them really noticing.
That was his argument. Now, Discover Bank, as you might expect, wasn't too happy about this class action lawsuit. They pointed to that arbitration clause they added back in 99 and said, "Nope, Boer, you agreed to arbitration. You got to take it up with an arbitrator."
And they specifically wanted to avoid that class action situation, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. They filed a motion to compel individual arbitration, trying to force Boer to go it alone.
So what happened next? Did the court side with Discover right away?
Well, initially, the trial court did grant Discover's motion to compel arbitration. They figured, hey, Boer signed the agreement, he's bound by it.
Makes sense, right? You agree to something, you got to stick to it. But I'm guessing this isn't the end of the story.
You got it. Around this time, another case. Sitella versus Discover Bank was making its way through the California Court of Appeal. And in Sitella, the court actually found that under certain circumstances, these class action waivers in arbitration clauses could be deemed unconscionable.
Unconscionable. That's a pretty strong word.
It is. It basically means that the terms are so unfair, so one-sided, that they just can't be enforced. It's like when one party has all the power and uses it to take advantage of the other party.
So the court's saying these companies can't just slip in these waivers and get away with it.
In certain cases, yeah. So based on this Sitella decision, the trial court in Boer's case actually reversed its earlier ruling and said, you know what? This class action waiver might actually be unconscionable.
Wow, so Discover Bank's plan backfired.
Well, not so fast. Discover Bank, obviously not happy with this turn of events, appealed that decision. And then the Court of Appeal ended up siding with Discover, overturning the trial court's decision again.
Okay, so back and forth we go. What was the reasoning this time?
The Court of Appeal essentially said that the Federal Arbitration Act, the FAA, preempted California law when it came to class action waivers.
Wait, hold on. Preemption. What's that all about?
Preemption basically means that federal law trumps state law. So in this case, the court was saying that because the FAA really favors arbitration, California couldn't use its own laws to invalidate these class action waivers in arbitration agreements.
So it's like a legal tug of war, state law versus federal law.
Exactly. And in this round, the FAA won out, but this still wasn't the end of the road. The California Supreme Court decided to step in and take a look at the case.
Oh, sounds like things are about to get serious. So what did the California Supreme Court ultimately decide?
This is where things get really interesting. The California Supreme Court, led by Justice Moreno, ended up issuing a pretty significant ruling. They laid out a three-part test to figure out when a class action waiver in a consumer contract, like those take-it-or-leave-it agreements we were talking about earlier.
Where you don't really have a choice but to agree.
Yeah, those. They said to figure out if those waivers are unconscionable, you got to look at three things. First, is it a consumer contract of adhesion?
Okay, so that's like the foundation.
Right. Second, are the disputes likely to involve small amounts of money for each individual?
So thinking back to Barr's case, like those little fees Discover was allegedly tacking on.
Exactly. And third, is there a claim that the company with all the power, in this case Discover, is using some kind of scheme to basically cheat a bunch of people out of small sums?
So they're looking for a pattern of potentially shady behavior that's hurting a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even if each individual harm isn't that big on its own.
Precisely. And if all three of those boxes are checked, the California Supreme Court said that the class action waiver could be considered unconscionable.
So they're basically saying, we get that arbitration is important, but we're not going to let companies use it to get away with ripping people off.
That's a good way to put it. They also argued that forcing people to give up their right to a class action in these specific situations could basically allow companies to escape responsibility for wrongdoing, which they saw as potentially violating a California law that prohibits contracts that let someone off the hook for their own fraud or intentional harm.
So they were really concerned about protecting consumers, especially when the individual losses might be small. But the overall impact is huge. But I keep thinking back to that federal law, the FAA, that favors arbitration. How did the California Supreme Court justify their decision in light of that?
This is where they got really specific. They acknowledged the FAA's strong preference for arbitration, but they made a crucial distinction. They said the FAA only preempts state laws that are specifically designed to target arbitration agreements or treat them differently than other types of contracts. They argued their rule against class action waivers wasn't about attacking arbitration itself. It was about applying a general principle of unconscionability that applies to all kinds of contracts in California.
So their logic was, we're not singling out arbitration. We're just saying this particular type of waiver is unfair under our general contract law.
Right. They were trying to strike a balance between respecting the role of arbitration and preventing companies from exploiting it to avoid accountability. But like in a lot of important legal cases, there was another perspective. Justice Baxter wrote a dissenting opinion arguing against the majority's view.
Oh, so there was some disagreement within the court itself.
Definitely. Justice Baxter had a couple of main concerns. First, he thought the court should have honored the choice of law clause in the credit card agreement, which specified that Delaware law should govern. He felt they should have deferred to that choice and that Delaware law would have probably upheld the class action waiver.
So he's saying stick to the contract, folks. What was his other point?
His second big worry was that California's ruling could turn the state into a magnet for class actions that might not be allowed in other states. He thought this could mess with the party's expectations when they signed the agreement and also interfere with Delaware's interest in having consistent rules for its banking industry.
So he was thinking about the bigger picture, how this decision could ripple out and affect other states and industries.
Exactly. So you've got this tension between California wanting to protect its consumers and the principle of upholding contracts and respecting other states' laws. It's complicated stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. So what was the immediate impact of this Discover Bank decision? Did it change things in California?
It did for a while. This case established the so-called Discover Bank rule, which became an important legal precedent in California. It gave people a basis for challenging class action waivers in certain types of consumer contracts within the state.
But like you mentioned at the beginning, this didn't last forever, did it? There was another Supreme Court case that came along and shook things up.
That's right. In 2011, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its ruling in AT&T Mobility versus Conception. this case really shifted the landscape on this whole issue.
What did Concepcion decide?
The Supreme Court basically said that the Federal Arbitration Act preempts state laws that try to ban class action waivers in arbitration agreements. So even if a state tries to use its general unconscionability rules to strike down these waivers, the FAA says, nope, those waivers are okay.
So even if California thinks it's protecting its consumers, the federal government is saying, back off, arbitration is king.
Pretty much. They felt that allowing class arbitration would fundamentally change how arbitration works and undermine its efficiency. So that Discover Bank rule, even though it was a well-intentioned effort by the California Supreme Court, was ultimately overruled.
Okay, so if Discover Bank got overturned, why are we even talking about it? Why is it still relevant today?
Because even though the specific outcome was reversed, there's a lot we can learn from this case, especially if you're studying law. First, it gives us a really clear example of how a state Supreme Court tackled this tricky question of balancing state consumer protection laws with the federal love for arbitration. It shows us the arguments that can be made to protect consumers from potentially unfair contract terms.
So it's like a case study in legal strategy.
Yeah, you could say that. Second, Discover Bank highlights how arbitration law is constantly evolving. Knowing about this case helps you understand the legal environment before conception and appreciate how much things changed after that decision.
It's all about context, seeing how the law develops over time.
Exactly. And finally, Discover Bank really underscores that complex relationship between state and federal law. It shows how state courts try to navigate federal law while still addressing their own local concerns. It's a classic example of federalism in action.
Okay, so just to recap, what are the key takeaways from our deep dive into Discover Bank?
Well, the California Supreme Court came up with that three-part test to determine when a class action waiver in a consumer contract is unconscionable. Remember, it's got to be a take-it-or-leave-it agreement, the disputes probably involve small amounts of money, and there's an allegation that the company is using some kind of scheme to cheat people.
And they did this based on California's own law about unconscionable contracts and because they wanted to protect consumers from potentially widespread harm.
Right. But then the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in with the Concepcion case and said, nope, the FAA wins. States can't use their unconscionability laws to get rid of class action waivers and arbitration agreements.
So it's a reminder that federal law often has the final say.
Definitely. And for all you future lawyers out there, even though Discover Bank didn't win in the end, it's still super important to understand the reasoning behind it. It shows how hard states are working to address the power imbalances in consumer contracts and how the courts are constantly grappling with this tension between making arbitration efficient and ensuring that people have access to justice.
It's a good reminder that the law is always evolving and there's always a debate about how to best protect consumers in a world where these kinds of contracts are everywhere. And on that note, here's a final thought for you to ponder. Given what we've learned from Discover Bank and Concepcion, and knowing that this debate about balancing arbitration and consumer rights is still raging on, how do you think the law should adapt to this increasingly digital age where these standardized take-it-or-leave-it contracts are more common than ever?
It's a question worth considering. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
And we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.